Welcome to this IFRS Advisory Council podcast. My name is Matt Tilling and I'm the Director of Education at the IFRS Foundation. And I'm joined once again by the Chair of the IFRS Advisory Council, Joanna Perry. It's great to have you here back with us, Joanna. The purpose of this podcast is to provide a summary of the meeting and the key discussions at the Advisory Council. The Advisory Council meets twice a year, and this latest meeting took place in London on the 4th and 5th of September 2018. As we discussed in the last podcast, each time the Advisory Council meets, it considers an agenda that covers topics of strategic interest to the IFRS Foundation and the International Accounting Standards Board. So, Joanna, what were the topics discussed during this meeting, and which topic engaged the council members the most, do you think?
First of all, good morning, Matt, and thank you for having me here again. Yes, the key areas that we discussed, I think there were probably three key themes. The first one was largely around stakeholder engagement and timeliness and how that fitted into the due process. Secondly, quite how the foundation looks at its role with the future of the IFRS taxonomy. And finally, a theme that in fact affects so many organisations, and including, of course, the foundation, the future of talent. You asked the question, what engaged the members the most? And I think you asked me that last time, and my answer will be the same as last time. I think the members were engaged throughout the 2 days and again added great value to the foundation. But perhaps to sum up, I use, when I summed up at the end of the meeting, one word, and I usually try to find one word that summed it all up in terms of our advice, and I think that was actually flexibility.
Yeah, and that came through in quite a number of the discussions, and we'll touch on that throughout this podcast, but maybe let's try and make it a bit more concrete. Taking that theme of flexibility, one area that I think it really showed through in was, say, around comment letters, quite a specific topic, but a really good discussion.
It was, Matt, what we were really trying to do around the comment letters discussion was to think about that question of increasing the effectiveness of the feedback that the foundation gets on consultative documents. And really, some of the key pieces of advice we gave, and the first one, it absolutely fits with that flexibility. It's about thinking, perhaps think about the flexibility of comment letters. Somebody made the comment that people don't write letters anymore. So thinking about how best to engage with the stakeholders, and maybe there is not one answer that fits everybody. Maybe it is wider than that, so that there is a flexibility, and we encourage the board to be creative in thinking about how to get that feedback, in particular thinking about appropriate feedback engagement from the different types of stakeholders, and maybe even going from, in some instances, and certainly not in all, that in fact a yes-no question might be a valid way of doing things. But in essence, coming down to, hey, board, think about how can we be more flexible to get more effective feedback, but still engaging absolutely with our stakeholders around the comments on our proposals.
Leading on from comment letters, another area that was discussed by the Advisory Council was a really important issue to the foundation and the board around perceptions of timeliness.
Yes, and this was something that had come out from the previous survey in terms of people saying that maybe the foundation is not as timely as it could be. The question, though, that we grappled with was how you balance timeliness with due process and stakeholder engagement, and if you like, which trumps which. And it was very clear from the Advisory Council that, first of all, quality trumps time in standard setting. That was, I want to say, unanimous. I probably would be wrong to say unanimous, but a very strong majority view that quality trumps time in standard setting. And that, yes, timeliness is not necessarily seen as an issue. However, there is no question that we do have to, the foundation has to recognise and address that the fact that there is a perception in relation to the lack of timeliness. We delved into where that timeliness issues might be so that the foundation can think about how to address the perceptions. And the key was that perhaps it is better communication that is the really important thing in terms of reducing the perception of timeliness. And yet again, that word flexibility comes in. And in fact, here we talked about flexibility and nimbleness of approaches for different standards and different stakeholders that may assist in reducing those timeliness issues.
When you say better communication around timeliness, Joanna, what do you mean by that?
I think, Matt, it's around explaining the timeline expectations up front so that people understand what those expectations are. And then if there are delays, not only saying there are delays, but explaining why the delays are there so that the stakeholders understand what it is, first of all, their expectations, and secondly, what is happening now and why.
Finally, I want to touch on a much wider ranging and strategic discussion that I think is relevant to every organization out there right at the moment. And this is that idea of the future of talent.
And as you say, all organizations face this issue. What is the future of talent? How do we all ensure we get the right talent? And what was used at the Advisory Council was the experiences of all of those people sitting around the table to try to help and provide advice to the foundation, the sort of things that the foundation needs to, might think about looking at in relation to the future of talent. There were six key themes that came through, and I might just run through those. One was around, you know, talent needing a sense of social purpose of the organisation. The next one was around working in an organisation that was really and truly a learning organisation. Flexibility around the workplace and quite where employees were working. The skill sets, the importance of maybe the breadth of skills as opposed to depth of skills. Diversity and inclusiveness, an area that, you know, is talked about an awful lot, is really, really hard to make sure that we get right. Interestingly, a particular area that we focused on at the Advisory Council is absolutely we've got a gender diversity within the foundation and certainly a country and ethnicity diversity. But thinking around, perhaps further thought needs to be given as to how we ensure we also have cognitive diversity. So it was that kind of discussion. And the sixth theme was around continuous feedback, and in that talent, young people these days absolutely are looking for continuous feedback and not that one yearly review. So how do we think about that from a foundation perspective? But overall, the input from 50 people sitting around the table in their different experiences of giving that to the foundation in terms of taking that advice forward.
Joanna, how will this meeting now go on to impact on the IFRS Foundation?
If we just take one example, a lot of the items at the meeting, for example, the comment letters and timeliness in particular, impact on the due process handbook review that is currently being undertaken by the trustees. We had three trustees at the meeting. They listened to the feedback. They told us that they would take that feedback and our advice to the trustee meeting in October to be input into the discussion that they have around the due process handbook. And the second one, around the future of talent, I know that both the general things that I talked about and the detailed thoughts and advice around that is being considered by the IFRS Foundation leadership team almost as we speak.
Thank you, Joanna, for that overview. A more detailed summary of the meeting will become available on the IFRS Foundation's website. A recording of the entire meeting is also available for anyone who would like to listen to the discussions in more detail. If you have any questions or feedback, please email communications@ifrs.org. We certainly appreciate your feedback.